It's time for another Steve Dale Petcast, sponsored by Zymox. Veterinarian recommended, pet parent trusted for resolving pets' ear, skin, and oral conditions for over 25 years. Now, here's Steve Dale.
Dr. Adam Christman is the Chief Veterinary Officer at DVM 360, and welcome to Steve Dale's Petcast on WGN. You're the perfect person to talk to with this, you know, because first of all, I think you live to communicate to pet parents and the way in which veterinarians today communicate and the importance of that communication to pet parents is so different than what, 15 years ago. At least that's what I think, Dr. Christman.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. And you're absolutely right. I'm pet parent obsessed. I really am. I'm one of them. I get them. And you're right, Steve. It's not the way I even have practiced over the years is not the way I practiced, you know, 20 years ago than it is today, which is good. I love it. The wants and needs of our pets are so much different, maybe a little higher if you want to challenge that conversation. Like some may think or argue that, you know, they're our world. And in fact, you know, the data, as you and I know, Steve, that our pet, you know, people are getting pets more than anything else. They're starting out with pets before maybe a car or having children themselves. So it's so nice to be, I really do consider myself a pediatrician. I really do, because you're part of the family and it's such an honor to journey the lifespan of the pet throughout their lifetime. I think it's such it's a privilege to be a veterinary professional these days, and it's an honor to cherish that special human animal bond.
So about the number of pets, the estimates I see are by year 2030, we're going to have about 100 million pets in America, way exceeding even right now the number of children in America. And that's not even counting fish. So certainly most people will have a pet or pets. And the other thing is, it's not just having a dog and it's not just having a cat. It's multi-pet homes because we have more mixed or blended families than ever before. So that doesn't look anything like it did when you began practicing veterinary medicine.
No, it really hasn't. And you're absolutely right. Talk about, you know, a blended species of pets that are happening in the household more so than ever. I just came back from my vet school, Iowa State University, and we were just talking about this when I was getting the hospital tour, because they were saying, I don't know if you know this, Adam, but she's like, we're seeing a huge uptake on, you know, domesticated goats is a big thing. It's probably one of their, it's number three for them, what they see for animals. It's dogs, cats, and goats. And a newer thing that we're seeing a lot of is our miniature cows. And, you know, I just love that people are finding different species, and regardless of what you decide to choose and take into your heart, the love is just as strong as it is for any of those species across the board is what we're seeing. And I just think that's so powerful in and of itself.
Well, being the Chief Veterinary Officer at DVM 360, you helped to choose the speakers for your educational conferences for veterinarians, and I'm honored to say I oftentimes speak for you. And in one of the talks I give, I talk to veterinarians because I have a unique perspective not being a veterinarian myself. And I say, how many of you will say cat has hyperthyroid disease, you know, whatever the diagnosis is, but not something that pet parents are necessarily exceedingly familiar with. And, you know, of course, everyone raises their hand. Of course, you always offer some diagnosis every single day, over and over, different diagnosis. And pet parents often don't know what. And then I say, how many pet parents, before they even leave the exam room, as you're talking to them, as you are explaining, well, hyperthyroid disease occurs this way because of this, and here are the possibilities of things. As you're talking about that, they're looking on their phone. And then I ask, then I ask veterinarians and technicians, how many are offended when that happens? And a whole lot of people, more than half, generally raise their hand. And then I ask, how many ever shop for soup at the supermarket? And everybody raises their hand. And I say, how many may look at their phone to compare prices or ingredients or anything yourself? in the soup. And of course, people raise their hand. So should veterinary professionals, a long-winded question, be offended when pet parents kind of double check them? And I'm not sure, and you'll tell me, whether double checking is even the right way to put it.
Right. The answer is 100% no. Let's face it, we have a limited FaceTime interaction with our clients in those exam rooms. Maybe on a good day, you got 20 minutes to have good, viable FaceTime visibility. And within those 20 minutes, you're probably multitasking with the client when you're doing an exam. And then of those 20 minutes, how much education are they actually getting out of that? And to your point, if we're going to talk about hypothyroidism, so I value that they're looking on the phone. They care that they want to know more information. And I do think as an education, as a veterinarian, we are educators to guide them in the right direction with good resources and websites that are out there. So, for example, if I see that a client is looking at, you know, his or her phone, I'll ask them, you know, what website are we looking at, versus them hiding it and saying, oh, I just wanted to double check and see what hypothyroidism is. Oh, well, let me guide you with a couple of websites. Here's some references that for you to check out as well. And let me provide you with a handout. And here's a video, because they're very video content heavy these days. I think it's great. So, you know, here's some other information. Because remember, our clients learn differently. It's not this linear type of learning that we have where we have, you know, we say things verbally. Here's hypothyroidism. We'll see you in a month to recheck the T4. People either need to hear it a couple times, they need to have it written down, they need to watch a video, maybe they need to join a community group of other pet owners that have dogs that have hypothyroidism, and what is that experience like? Think about it on the human side. When we're diagnosed with something by our doctors, the first thing we're going to do is, one, look it up, and two, talk to somebody else about it that has that similar condition that you're going through. And it's no different on the veterinary side, so I hope we welcome that conversation and that extended arm, if you will, of education, because we as veterinary professionals, we don't have necessarily the time to, you know, continuously pipe in information. But I do hope that veterinarians are putting great content out on their social media channels or creating a library, because there was a recent study that just came out, and 86% of pet owners want education to come from the veterinarian. You know, they're paying services to see you. And, you know, I'll have new graduates that'll say to me, gosh, there's so much content out there, Dr. Kirsten, about ear cleaning. I said, but no one has your voice. No one's going to explain how to clean a dog's ears than you. So, and same thing to those clients with hypothyroidism. Yeah, create a library for yourself, for clients to go on there. So that way, if you're against the fact that they're looking at other websites, maybe make that website yours.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with what you're saying. What is today, what makes the best client, the best pet parents?
So I think the best pet parent is the one that comes with all the questions that they have. The best pet parent is the prepared pet parent. And so what I mean is, they know that they had to bring a stool sample or first morning urine sample. Maybe they knew they had to fast their pet for a blood sample. They took a picture of the food because they know they're going to forget the name of the food that they're feeding them. Sure. So take a picture of what they're giving them. Or maybe they have a journal of what their day-to-day activities are if their dog or cat was having a seizure, and they have that information logged. I think a prepared pet owner, maybe using a smart collar, that's going to help give other pieces of information about changes in behavior, fear, anxiety, and stress that may be occurring at home that they may not know. So being prepared, having those questions ready to go, and just being present when you're with your veterinarian. Because, again, like we just mentioned, it's a limited time. It's a great time to get those questions answered. So don't be on your phones and try to be. I know it's hard when you're having the kids. Maybe you're bringing the kids. You have no other choice that you got to bring them. But we work with the children also to get them equally engaged at the same time. But try to be as present and as prepared. Those are my two P's rule that I say.
All right. So I wonder what makes for, frankly, a really lousy client. We will find out. You mentioned smart collars. I want to talk to you about technology, which I know is one of your favorite topics. And we will do that when we come back here on Steve Dale's Pet World Petcast on WGN. Hi, friends. Steve Dale here. Itch, scratch, rub, chew, repeat. Does that sound like your pet?
Help is here. Zymox-based skin and ear care products can help calm and soothe your pet's angry skin or red infected ears. For 25 years, Zymox ear drops, topical cream, shampoos, and conditioners have been helping pets find relief. Zymox is available online on Amazon and Chewy, at Petco, PetSmart, and other fine pet retailers, and from local veterinarians.
Dr. Adam Christman is the Chief Veterinary Officer at DVM 360. Tell me what DVM 360 is, Dr. Christman.
Yeah, so we're one of the leading veterinary multimedia platforms out there in the space. So when veterinary professionals receive their degree, veterinary technician, veterinarian, they need X amount of hours to maintain their license, just similar how it is on the human side. So we provide their continuing education needs, whether it be live events, media, such as publications, webinars, talk shows, and so forth, podcasts as well.
And when we went to the break, I said, you know what? I want to talk to you about, well, I asked you, the best clients, who they are. What about clients you kind of, in the back of your mind, think, I really don't want to see that person again?
Yeah. I call those the disenchanted clients that need a little extra pixie dust.
And you probably have some in your back pocket.
Yeah, I was like, you need a little bit more pixie dust. But let's face it, and this is I say this a lot to mentees, that we cannot place judgment on the human-animal bond. We value them differently. So we may have a client that's coming in just for the rabies vaccine, and you know that those ears are a mess, that they need a dental cleaning, there's multiple growths that are there, but all they want is the rabies vaccine. In fact, they will be very vociferous to let you know that they're there just for that rabies vaccine. So it's not worth your mental health to kind of keep pushing things. Yes, you can make the recommendations. So those are clients that you're like, okay, you know, they just want to get by. I actually congratulate them for protecting, you know, other dogs from not receiving rabies and getting rabies. So, you know, you got to look at the flip side. I think that's fantastic that they made that decision. But the clients that are closed, that are just not open to listening and learning about recommendations, we're on the same side of the exam table. I don't like sometimes, unfortunately, that I'll hear, you know, we'll be portrayed as an enemy or we're so expensive and we're in it for the money. Those are completely false. I mean, I can't think of another profession where it's such a selfless job and, you know, we leave with our hearts. So so having clients that are very respectful and transparent at the same time, let us know that maybe they can't give medications or this is what their budget is. But, you know, people that feel like Dr. Christian never told me this or he never said that. You know, I don't like that. It doesn't make practicing fun and enjoyable. We want to make it a collaborative teamwork approach. And Steve, I would never have said this 20 years ago, but I wholeheartedly mean this now, is that the pet parent is literally in the driver's seat. And I always say that I'm in the passenger seat and our car is the veterinary hospital because we're working together to drive results for the greater good of your animal. And so we want you to make the decision. So my job is to empower you to make these good decisions. But if you're going to sit there and not be disengaged and look away and don't care, yada, yada, kind of a thing, then no one wins. The animals don't win from that. So those are the kind of owners that I do love those, by the way, Steve, just so you know. I love those kinds of owners because I try to hopefully engage with them in on a more positive way, that because I do love a good challenge. And I said, you know, we're gonna crack that nut right there and make that zero a hero. So look at me with all my puns. Who am I?
You are Dr. Adam Christman, who comes up with this stuff, and an ambassador, truly, for the profession. The profession now needs that ambassador, I think, more than at any other time. Suicide rates are still very high in veterinary medicine, and I don't know that those of you listening would know that's the case. It surprises. Yeah. It surprises a lot of people. Why do you think that is? And by the way, I don't have the data in front of me exactly, but I know this. More than any other medical profession, I think dentists, yeah, if I recall right, are number two for whatever reason. Human physicians of various kinds fall into the mix after that. But why? Right. Why veterinarians at the top of that list?
I cannot think of another profession where we care so much about our animals. They can't speak to us. So we do everything we possibly can imaginable to provide good care. We also do a lot of end-of-life care. I don't think of another profession where we're dealing with, you know, there are days where I would have 8 to 10 euthanasias in addition to your wellness visits and emergency visits. So the emotional toll that that takes on you is wears heavily, because saying goodbye to a pet is almost like saying goodbye to the family, because you don't know if you're going to see them again. You might be heavily attached, like I have always been attached to them. So saying goodbye was very emotional for me, because I love the family. I know how invested they were in their pet. That weighs heavily on you. And I think the tipping point that that has occurred is, you know, as much as I love social media, unfortunately, social media can be used as an enemy against us, where they're bashing us. And that's our reputation. That's our world. And when I go live on TikTok with pet parents every night, I say to them, be an adult, have a conversation. Do not be this warrior behind the keyboard that's going to make you feel better about yourself. Have a conversation. Pick up the phone. Don't put things in right. Just have a normal conversation. And if you want to see me in person, let's chat and be an adult. And I think we need to get back to that even more now, Steve, because I think with communication and the way technology has been, and I'm all for it in certain aspects, but when there's a miscommunication or where there's an opportunity for us to do better and learn, I appreciate feedback, but I appreciate feedback done in a respectful platform. And that really does affect my colleagues' mental health, too, because it literally just happened 2 weeks ago where someone was completely bashing her and then actually stalked where her kids went to school.
What?
And, yeah, and was actually putting terrible lies about the kids in school. It got really, really ugly, where the veterinarian had to pull the kids out of school and actually had to get a security guard. So it's that out of control sometimes. I mean, that's extreme and ridiculous, but it's happening. It happens. Yeah. So, you know, my best advice is just be a civil adult. We know emotions run high with our pets. I get it. They're our world. But at the same time, everybody that's listening, we cannot set unrealistic expectations on our animals. They're going to get sick. They're going to pass away. So are we. And we do everything we can to make sure that their life is good quality of life. And if we're recommending that it may be time, then it most likely is going to be time. Sometimes you need an outsider to be that voice of reason to say, hey, you know, they're not doing well and we've exhausted our resources and we want them to leave this earth with the dignity that they deserve. So we want you to also respect our opinion. You might need a second opinion. That's okay. But don't bash us because of what we're recommending, too.
Does that happen a lot?
Does. Yeah. And, you know, part of that, my understanding, I was just sitting in these classes about how we grieve. And some of the grief is misplaced grief, where they take that into anger and then it goes back to the veterinarian. And they said, well, I felt pressured to euthanizing my dog. Like, I didn't feel like it was time yet. I mean, listen, you sign those forms, you have a gazillion discussions about this ahead of time. But, you know, our minds can be our biggest enemies at times when you're laying your head on the pillow at night and you're thinking and overthinking things. And then they'll write back to us. And I get a lot of calls like this is, you know, Dr. Kristen, did I make the right decision? And of course they did. Of course. But every now and then somebody, a family member, a friend, a follower can be like, oh, no, you should have done this, that, and the other thing. Like, I don't know why he didn't recommend that. What a terrible human being, a terrible doctor he is. And then that's where they start to stir the pot a little bit. And I'm like, oh, why didn't you recommend X, Y, and Z or whatever? And that's how it can get a little uglier.
Well, that's the other side of the human-animal bond. You know, the bond is so intense, more intense, and there's lots of data to demonstrate this, more than ever before in history. I think the other side of that is what you're describing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we don't want to let go of our animals. Of course we don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't begin to tell you how many of my pets, like my one dog, she's the connector to my parents that have passed away. But I would never, ever put her health ahead of mine to keep her so I can just feel more connected to my parents. That's just selfish. So, but I totally get what they do to us. And we, you know, I've had, you know, these grown men that never thought that they would, you know, cry over the loss of their dog and their final moments. And they were hysterical, Steve. And that's okay. Like, I'm a mess myself. Like, we all have our moments. But they always said, I never thought I could love something so much more than this dog, this cat, this gerbil, this hamster. It's unbelievable. And, you know, when you hear their stories of what these animals have done for us, especially when you think about COVID and quarantine and lockdown, what these animals have done for us as we're going through such a dark time for our whole world, it's really unparalleled what these animals do for us. So I get it with the emotions running high, and it's tough, but I say this wholeheartedly. When I go to the elementary schools for career day, because I'm a big advocate for not just, you know, getting people into the veterinary space, which is great, but I want people to just enjoy and love animals and respect them. And, you know, it's something that stems early on in life, because we don't want them hurting animals. You hear of children doing that early on, and we don't want that. But when they have that visibility, it just takes a moment, just a moment, for a child to, you know, lay their hands on a dachshund, for instance, or because I bring my dogs in on career days and stuff, and you just see their face change, and then I'll be friends with their parents and like, thanks, now we got to get an animal. But I love it because, you know, it gives them that unconditional love. It gives them something. It gives them responsibility. It teaches us all about responsibility. But most importantly, now some more than ever, everybody, it teaches us kindness. You know, our animals don't care who we love, the color of our skin, what political views we're on, what side of the aisle you're on. They just know unconditional love. And I truly feel like if I had to get on that platform, Steve, and tell the world this, I said, if we could just learn kindness from our animals, I think the world would be a much better place.
Yeah, you're right. I just wrote a piece about that, actually. Dr. Yeah. Adam Christman, so articulate as always. A pleasure to talk to you. Chief Veterinary Officer, DVM 360. Thank you so much for everything you do.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Thank you for your friendship.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast from Steve Dale, sponsored by Zymox. Veterinarian recommended, pet parent trusted for resolving pets' ear, skin, and oral conditions for over 25 years.